Some people may wonder why they should follow Jesus. And I think this is because they don't know who he is. They don't know what he's done for them. And they obviously don't know the reasons for following after Jesus and abiding in his teaching. Now, Jesus dealt with that in his life when he offered these statements. And oftentimes we refer to them as the I am statements, which are identifiers of who Jesus is. And since he is that, we should follow him. And these I am statements, they give us reasons why we should follow after him. And they give us teachings. The one of these teachings is we can see from these I am statements is that he is deity. He is the Christ. He is God in the flesh. The second thing that the I am statements show is they show his righteousness and his goodness by meeting our needs. The I am statements also show Jesus' sole purpose of being here, seeking the saving the lost. And it can only be done through him. The I am statements also shows that Jesus offers to everyone the blessings of those who abide in him. I want us to focus our attention, which is known of the seventh I am statement, which is found in John chapter 15 and verse 1. Well, it's starting in verse 1. We'll probably go through verse 11 today. And that is Jesus said that he is the true vine. I want us to take a minute and read that. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered and is gathered and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Whenever we see, we read this text, we need to consider and identify the role of those that are in the vineyard in our text that we just read. We see the identification. There's three. We need to see that Jesus is the vine. He is the true vine. He is, and his purpose is, he's the life source to the branches. God, the Father, he's the vine dresser. He is the one who's in charge or the owner of the vineyard. He oversees the productivity of his vineyard. And the disciples are the branches, and their role is to bear fruit. Whenever we look at this, let's first look at the vine, the true vine, the importance of it. The vine supplies us strength. Whenever the vine, we look at the strength, comes from the vine. And how do the branches function? It's because of the strength of the vine. And we look at the Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Let's think about this. Jesus is the vine. He is the one that we need to seek and to follow after. And he will give us that the proper nourishment that we need and the proper strength that we need. And he'll establish us through our faith. When we look at our faith, how do we have faith? How do we get this? How do we be firmly rooted? Oh, it's becoming a Christian, following after Jesus. And we know that how do we do that? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear the word of God. When we hear the word of God, it should take root in our life. And we should start following and wanting to learn more. And we understand that the vine offers and supplies us strength. And that is Jesus. He gives us that strength we need. whether we are a Christian or not a Christian. We need to know that the true vine is Jesus. And we need to be a branch, an individual person who attaches himself to the vine. And we know that we can't just identify who Jesus is and not do anything about it. You see, Jesus dealt with that in Matthew 7 and verse 21. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You see, they understood it and who he was, but they didn't do anything about it. He said, why? He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but the ones who will, they will be the ones who hears the word of God and acts on it. And they'll be as a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. You see, you have to follow the teachings of Jesus. You have to follow the word of God. In order to be firmly rooted, we got to go to the vine, the source. And we have the word of God that is our strength. And where does the word of God come? Well, it comes from God, the source. And then it was passed down, it was given, and Jesus came and spoke on that. And when he came and spoke the words of God, he made this statement, which is a fascinating statement. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen, think about that. He is the exact representation of who the Father is in the flesh, though. He is in the flesh. And he is the vine. He is the life source for us that gives us strength. And he, it's a comforting, and it's all those things that we need. And how do we get that? It's by faith. And having our faith established, it has to be established in the right vine. And Jesus is the true vine. He is the right vine. And Paul, he offers his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from every family in heaven and in earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and the length and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Think about what Paul was doing. He was praying for these Christians here. He wanted them to know that their faith comes from Jesus Christ, that they should be strengthened with the power of the Spirit, which is having Christ in us. How do we have Christ in us? Well, we must be in him. If Christ is in us, it's because we chose to be in Christ. And how do we choose to be in Christ? Well, we are baptized into his death, into his likeness. We be obedient to him by believing in him. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We confess that and repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And when we do that, we have Jesus with us. We have our strength with us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ can dwell in us. And how is that? How does he dwell? It's through knowledge of who he is. When we know who Jesus is, we can know what he wants us to do. And luckily, we have the Word of God that we can look at and study it and know what God expects of us and know how we can live, how to become Christians, how to be faithful Christians. And we can know because we have the true vine, Jesus Christ. And he gives us that strength that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We can understand this, and that comes through knowledge, that we may know this. And in fact, when we have that knowledge of this, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. He said, as a result, we are no longer children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by great craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, into Jesus, Who is the head? Christ. He's the Christ. When we look at this, we can know through knowledge, once we can have the knowledge of God, that we don't have to look at the philosophies of men, the religions of men. If we are not looking to the source, which is Jesus Christ, which is the true vine, this is the one that gives us strength. You see, that's what the vine is. It gives us that strength that we can know and we can be strengthened in that. And the vine also gives us nourishment. In Ephesians 5, verse 29, we know that it says that for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. You think of our body. We don't hate our body. We nourish it and cherish it. And it goes on to say, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. You see that nourishment? When we look to the true vine and we're a branch of that true vine, we're members of a body of his body, we're nourished in the words of faith, in good doctrine. Well, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul told Timothy, take heed of yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What he was saying is, the doctrine that you learned from me, it came from Christ. And we have that. We don't, but at that time, they didn't have the Word of God. They were spoke through the Holy Spirit. And how did they know? That it's confirmation of the things that they were teaching by the miracles, wonders, and signs that they were doing. We have the written Word of God. We can look at it and read and look and understand. When we look at the doctrine, it's just the teaching. Take heed to the teaching of the vine. Take heed of the teaching that you save your soul. You see, isn't that the purpose of what we are trying to do in our life? Is to spend eternity with God? And if that's not your purpose, I encourage you to study and to make sure and to think about, is that my purpose? And if it's not, let's refocus here and think about eternity. You're either going to spend eternity in two places, eternal heaven with God forever, or eternal damnation in a lake of fire. So we need to consider our eternity and know that the vine gives us the nourishment that we need in our life. We also know that the vine supplies all of our spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Think about the spiritual blessings. What are they? Well, there's a lot. We can talk about prayer. Well, how we have an advocate that goes before God and us, where we can pray and have confidence that we can go before the throne of God and pray. Know that if we ask God for anything, He'll answer us. He hears our prayers. He'll answer us. Now, it may not be the answer we want to hear, but He'll hear our prayer. And we can do that through Jesus Christ. We have, in His name, we can pray. And we have these spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of sin. We have the spiritual blessings of having the church, and when we have proper leadership, we have elders that are overseeing us. And those elders are ones who care for us, and they're ones that help us so that we can have that home in heaven. They're ones that are overseeing our soul. But they're not completely responsible for that. We have to be responsible for our own soul. But we have ones that are also looking out for us, the church. And that's why I think it's hard for us today, is because we're not assembling together as one body, and we're not getting that proper nourishment because we are separated. Now we see the purpose of assembling together. And what does it do? Where we get to encourage each other, build people up, and say, you know what? Through this week, let's live that Christian life. But you know what? Even in this time, we can have that strength and encouragement if we go to God's Word. And we go to that spiritual blessing that we have is the written Word of God. And know that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter wrote, he said, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. When we look at this, God has granted us everything for a good life and a godly life, and that's through the knowledge of Christ, through the knowledge of our true vine. Whenever we also look at the vine as the life source, the vine shows a close relationship to the branch. And the branches cannot bear fruit alone. You see, they have to work together. They must have a source of supply for their needs. That source is the vine, Jesus Christ. We also look at the branches here. Now there's two types of branches, one that bears fruit and one that doesn't. And it's a pretty simple explanation of that. But I want us to take a minute and look at the parable of the sower. We know in the parable of the sower that the seed is the word of God, and it goes into different hearts or different ground, as it's mentioned there. But it's a parable, and there's the implication of it's a spiritual teaching for us as well. The word of God is the seed, and it goes into heart. But how is our heart? Is our heart hard that it will not even allow the seed to come in? And that's like one who hears the word of God and doesn't do anything about it. Doesn't even want to really hear it. Or maybe it's a second one. It's a stony or a rocky soil where it takes heart for a little bit, but then just withers away because of the sun and it's not deeply rooted. And there's a third type of the thorns, and I think this is one that's probably most common in our society today, is the thorny soil, where, yeah, they want to follow after God, and we do want to do those things, but we let the thorns grow in, and that's things of life. And they both grow. You grow as a Christian, and you also, but sometimes we got to do some getting rid of things in our life. What ends up happening is the thorns overtake it, and next thing you know, you're not even following God anymore. You're living by however you want to live. And then there's that fourth soil. That fourth soil is a good soil, a good heart, a good receptive heart, and allowed the seed to be planted deep and grow and be strong and produce fruit. You see, I bring this up for this purpose. These types of branches goes into a man's heart. And what kind of heart are we letting the Word of God into? And it determines what kind of branch we are going to be. Are we going to be a branch that just hears the Word of God, obeys it, and then does nothing? We understand what will happen. There's an individual examination for these branches. The branches need to abide in Jesus. We see that in chapter 15, verse 2. We see every branch in me. When Jesus said that, it's every branch in me. That if you want to follow after God, if you want to abide in the true vine, you must abide in me. It has to be in me. It's another way of saying, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We want to make sure we're bearing fruit. Make sure we're doing the things necessary to bear fruit. The branch needs to bear fruit and refers to the kind of characteristics and good works that God commanded his disciples to produce. It starts with loving Christ and keeping his commandments. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words, follow after my teachings. How is this accomplished? It's through faith and obedience. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, he said, therefore, my brethren, you were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. You know, you see, he was looking at Christians that were Jews. And those Jews were going back into the old law and following those things. He said, don't do that. You're dead to that old law because you're in Christ now. And what are you supposed to do? Jesus rose from the dead. And since he rose from the dead, bear fruit for God. The branch that abides in Jesus that does not bear fruit will be cut off. One can abide in Jesus but never mature or grow. And eventually, it's just going to dry up and wither and be cut off and burn. One could bear fruit but not abide in Jesus. Now, Jesus refers to this not even in fruit at all, because you cannot do anything apart from me, is what he said in verse 4. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. There's no fruit it can be done. Now, what I think this means is this. People can go out and do good works that reflect a good Christian life, but never be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They could live a good life. I've often heard people this, that, oh, he lived a good life. He bore a lot of good fruits. But the only fruit that matters is that is in associated with the true vine. You see, because that is what is good fruit. That associated with the true vine, that the branches produce good fruit. Because if we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. If we don't have Jesus, we cannot produce good fruit. And whenever we see this, not only will they be cut off, but they'll be cast into the fire and they'll be burned. Now think of this. Judas was one who would not bear fruit any longer. He went out and killed himself. He cannot bear fruit any longer because he betrayed the Christ. Now we see that the branch also abides in Jesus that does bear fruit. What happens to it? It will be pruned. Now wait a second. Isn't that kind of like cutting off and cutting? You know that? Yeah, that is. That's kind of what does that mean? Well, let's put it this way. I like growing plants and tomatoes, and sometimes you have to prune your plants. Now, you think, and I know what I think, especially when I see tomatoes or blooms, and I see a lot of them on a plant, I think, boy, can I get a lot of fruit from this plant. Well, what ends up happening is if I let it go and don't prune some of it, I might just not get the greatest fruit. I may get just somewhat good fruit. Maybe they'll be smaller. Maybe they won't get the proper nutrition. But guess what happens if I prune it? That it produces a much desirable fruit. And that's the way it is in our life. We sometimes need to be pruned. If we are abiding in Jesus and we're part of the true vine and we're the branch that is associated with that true vine, attached to it, abiding in it, well, we may be pruned in our life. I think of that in James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4, where it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How can we consider it joy? Well, because we know the result of it. That knowing that your testing of your faith produces endurance. And then let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, we need to know. Now, we also need to know that God isn't tempting us. But sometimes Christians who are fruitful sometimes have a sin and weakness in their life that hinders their service to God and their usefulness to God. God tries, if possible, to remove that without destroying the whole branch. But if the disease spreads, it cannot be cured. The whole branch must be cut off and destroyed. Think about that for a second. Think about that in regards to discipline. How God disciplines as a father towards his son, Hebrews 12 and verse 4. We also know that the warnings of not falling away but being encouraged daily, that the word of God teaches that we might not, the word of God teaches us so that we might not be disobedient. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. You see, because if we are following it, it gives us that strength and help. It gives us a strong weapon. But if we're not, guess what? That sword is cutting us off, pruning us. So we need to be careful that we understand what this means, the pruning. And it's all for to produce a better fruit, and that is us. Now let's look at fruit producing. What does the fruit, what fruit does the branch bear? What does that mean? How are we to bear fruit? Well, let's think about this for a second. Inside of a fruit is usually multiple seeds. And I talked about tomatoes, so we'll just continue that. You think of one tomato, one fruit that you've gotten, and you cut it in half. And what do you see? You see lots of seeds in there. And if we planted those out there in proper soil, they would keep growing and growing and growing. Guess what? Producing multiple tomatoes. Now, in the tomato seed, I don't know exactly how many, but there's multiple seeds in there. So if we bear fruit, and then there's seeds that get spread out into this world. Maybe I think of this, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. They may see us and then turn to God. So we look at how do we bear fruit. The fruit is it'll multiply. That is, fruit will make more fruit. If those seeds are planted in the right ground, the fruit will multiply, and this continuation keeps bearing more and more fruit. And the next area is I'd like us to look at is the fruit of the Spirit. We know that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, all of those are fruit that we are to continually to bear. You know, I know we all need to work on them, but that's part of doing what God wants us to do, is to work on us bearing fruit. But we need to bear fruit, and that's what we need to do as we live our life. Now let's look at John chapter 15, verses 8 through 11. And when we look at this, I want us to consider this application portion of what we need to do from this, by knowing who Jesus is and who we are. Well, he said in verse 8, he said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Love and joy perfected. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, when we bear fruit for God, what are we doing? We're glorifying God. And also what we do at the end of verse 8, it talks about that you will be my disciples. What it is proving that you are a part of the vine. You are a branch of that vine. When you are going out and bearing fruit, you're glorifying God. And then you're proving that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And then we see the unity in verse 9 and 10 with Jesus and when the branch produces fruit. And look at that. The Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Have this unity. And how do you have that unity? Well, wait, there's a conditional statement here. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, there was conditions there. I must keep the commandments. I must abide in Jesus, abide in his teaching. And we see this, and that's so by being bearing fruit, and we are following the true vine, obeying the commandments of the vine, being a servant of the vine, and producing the fruit that the vine expects. And whenever we do that, we understand that Jesus is the true vine. And one must abide in that vine. Now, we may ask ourselves, how do I become part of this branch? How do I be a branch of the true vine? Well, that's being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we look at this in John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So we must believe. We must believe. We also need to repent of our sins. He said, I tell you no, unless every one of you repent, you all will likewise perish. There needs to be repentance, a change of life, and living not living for anything else, but living for the true vine. And we also must confess that we know who the vine is. that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And not confess it once, but confess it in our faithfulness to the true vine. And then we need to be baptized. We need to have our sins washed away in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have, when we obey the gospel, we become a branch of the true vine. If I can help you today, or any day, learn more about Jesus, learn more about who he is, I would love to spend some time with you. We could do it over the phone, we could do it over Skype or something like that right now, or maybe when time we can meet face to face. I'd love to study with you the Word of God and teach you more about the true vine.